Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, Marcus Brunzi here from How to Kill an Hour. Today, I am going to be Skyping Nick Bright, who is not in the studio with us. Before we kick it off, though, this is not an ad, but a massive shout out to you, Skype, for having some of the sickest ever ringer music. Insider. Let's go. In the meantime, on hold. Don't answer. Just yet. Could go on for a while, you know. Oh, Nick does need to answer eventually, though. Otherwise, this for a whole show isn't really going to be the one, is it?
Yo, what's going on, Marcus? It is me, Nicholas Bright. I can't even say my name. I'm that gassed.
Bruv, this whole situation with Skype, I've explained to the listener already that I'm calling you via Skype. And before we start today's show, how sick is the Skype tune? Like, I need to know, on my end, when I'm calling you, it sounds like a house anthem. How does it sound on your side?
Yeah, it sounds like a Dua Lipa tune. I'm just waiting for her to come in, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, it's just like, doonga doonga doon, doonga doon. I'm like, yeah, rhythm, come on. The Skype guys are winning at it. What I need to do, though, to take it to the next level, if I was working at Skype now, I'd be like, we need to get, like, a hip-hop one,
yeah,
like a rock one.
Yeah.
We just need to, like, get bare different ones.
You know, there was that technology a few years ago where you could have a tune playing over the ringtone. So, yeah, your phone would ring, like, and I could have a subscription service where you'd hear, like, and in the background, you'd hear something like, I don't know. Hello, Marcus.
I always used to wonder how the fuck have these people did this? That, like, I'll be phoning someone and some big tune will be banging down the phone and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And then they'll just be like, hello. Like, what?
Anyway, should we start the show now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Are you serious?
This is How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Brunzi.
And my name is Nick Bright.
There are many ways to kill some time out there, but right now you are killing some time with us.
Yes, indeed. But before we crack on with the show, right, we here at How to Kill an Hour, right, we're big fans of WWE and the WWE 2K18 game. So much so that we are giving your jabroni ass the chance to win.
Nick, you can't be calling somebody a jabroni and then offering them a chance to win something, bruv. It's not. I'm sorry about Nick. He's just getting a bit excited. He does that sometimes.
It's the yin and yang, innit? You know what I mean? Like, I call them a jabroni, but they get a chance to win. Like, all right. Forget it. So much so that we're giving you the chance to win one of three copies of WWE 2K18 WrestleMania Edition, which is packed full of bonus content, including the John Cena and Kurt Angle packs. All you have to do to enter is click the link in the show description or go to howtokillanhour.com/win. That's howtokillanhour.com/win.
That is correct. You saw John Cena a couple of weeks ago, didn't you?
I did see
John Cena!
No, it's funny, like, a lot of people say you can't see him, innit? You know what I mean? But I did see him. Like, he came in to see me on my radio show, my One Extra radio show, because he's got a movie called Blockers, which is out now in the UK. I think it drops on the 6th of April in the US. That's just off the top of my head, which what's the date now? It's the 3rd when we're recording this, so in a few days' time. But yeah, I was lucky enough to go and check the movie out before it was released. They do things called screenings. When you're interviewing like a movie star, you get invited to like a personal screening thing. And depending on what company it is, Fox or Universal, NBC, whatever, you go to different screening rooms. This one is like a brand new one in central London, just off of Oxford Street. And it was NBC Universal that I went to. And it's so sick because the cinema screens are like, they're not like big ones. It's not like if you go to your local cinema or whatever. So I imagine it to be like if I was a famous rapper, like the size of the cinema screen that I'd have in my house where me and my brethren can just watch movies and stuff. That's what
nice.
It would be.
No, and how big is not that big? Like, how many seats are you talking about? How private is this?
This one was actually quite big. It wasn't like big, but it was like, to put a number on it, I'd say like maybe, I'd say at least a 30-seater, at least. Probably more than that. I reckon maybe at least a 45 to 50-seater. It was quite a big one. But I've been to like smaller ones where it's like only three rows. You know what I mean? And like, you'd be like, I could have this in my house. Just imagine getting a football on there, watching Arsenal lose every week. Be great, you know?
Yeah, dark so no one can see you cry tears of sadness.
Exactly. John Cena, he's a mad cool guy. Like, you know, what I'll say about him is I didn't really know what to expect. I'd never interviewed him before. I'd seen him do interviews and stuff, but, you know, it's one thing. You know, when your profession is to interview people, it's one thing like seeing other interviews and seeing how they're behaving in those interviews to doing an interview yourself. Because a lot of the time, say if John Cena gets interviewed by, I don't know, James Corden on The Late Late Show in America.
Right.
Like, I don't know what John Cena and James Corden's relationship's like when the cameras are off. They might be cool. They might have, like, you know, James Corden might have interviewed him 100 times before. So it's like, they're like super cool. But when it's the first time you're interviewing someone, I'm always like, oh, are they going to be cold? Are they just going to be cool straight away? And he was just like super nice. Came in, spoke about wrestling. We played a little game with him where we gave him some fake wrestler names and some real ones, and he had to work out which ones were the real and which ones were the fake ones. And obviously, we spoke about blockers. So yeah, it was a all round. It was just a good chat, and he was suited and booted as well from like top to bottom.
All that was missing was
like a hat. You know, I don't know, but after I did the interview, I was talking to somebody, and I said like, I mentioned that he was just wearing a full 3-piece suit, like looking suave, and I was just wearing a t-shirt. And then somebody said to me, oh, on like a couple of the days during the week, I can't remember what days it is, I think it's either like a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Thursday and a Friday or whatever, he always wears a suit. And like apparently even if you're going to his house for like a dinner party or he's invited you somewhere or something like that, he expects you to wear a suit as well. That's just a rule he's got in life. Like, and the day, one of the days in question was the day that I interviewed him. So maybe that's why he was wearing a suit.
Do you know what? I get it, Nick. I get it. Cause I used to work in recruitment for a little while. Yeah. And yeah, I used to have to wear a suit all day long. And the first thing I wanted to do after a long week of working with a suit on was just take all my clothes off. Now, John Cena works in a ring most of the time with not many clothes on. So maybe it's like the reverse. Like just pants on sometimes, yeah. and maybe it's like the opposite effect for him. He's like, I want to relax and unwind by putting on some clothes. Just saying, bruv.
Can you imagine? That is like the total opposite. Like getting back from a hard day's work. Like, man, I really need to relax and unwind. Let me put on a 3-piece suit. This is going to relax me. Like, this is going to be so comfortable.
Imagine that, bruv. Coming through the front door on a cold, blistery, blustery day, yeah? With just no top on, a pair of jean shorts on, yeah? Do you know what I mean? Maybe you can't see me, hat, but more time than not, he throws that into the crowd at the start of the wrestling match. So he comes home. He just he wants to wrap up warm. He wants to unwind by getting dressed. I get it, John. I'm with you, John Cena. It makes sense. Crack the code, Nick. And the film, what's it saying? Was it all right?
Yeah. The film's good, man. It's essentially about, John Cena's one of the dads in the movie, and he's got a daughter and her two friends, all girls.
Yeah.
They're planning on losing their virginity at prom.
Yeah.
Which is interesting for a UK audience because obviously we're massively aware of prom. We know what it's all about because we've seen lots of American films. But over here, prom, we do have them, but they're just like, they're not a big deal at all. In America, proms are like, oh my God, it's prom. It's the best night of your life. Blah, blah. Over here, it's like, oh, it's prom. Well, you got to pay to go? Nah. Yeah. That's what I did. My prom is like, what, 20 quid to go? Nah, mate. Forget it.
Think about what you could spend that 20 quid on when you're that age.
I swerved that, mate, so I didn't go to mine. But Yeah, so they plan on losing their virginity, and the movie, the title Blockers, it's basically does exactly what it says on the tin. The parents, they find out that the girls are trying to lose their virginity, and they're trying to block them from losing their virginity.
Oh, that sounds like a film I want to watch, man. That sounds all right.
Very jokes, man.
Go on.
I'm just going to say, I'm not just saying that because I interviewed him and he's significantly bigger than I am, wider anyway. I'm actually taller than him because I'm a tall bear, but it is a good film. You'll enjoy it. There's lots of laugh out loud moments. And one of the funniest moments in there, it's not a spoiler alert, don't worry, but one of the funniest moments in there is when they have to kind of, the parents have to crack like an emoji code. Like, because the daughters are texting in emoji speak, and the parents are like trying to work out what it means.
What does the eggplant mean? What does the eggplant mean?
That exact joke comes up.
Ah, yes. Oh man. Do you know what it got me? What do we have? You've made it quite apparent, or the film's made it quite apparent that like losing your virginity around prom time is like a thing, like a set time. Like from what. Yeah. You're telling me, I feel like that's when loads of people in America like try to lose their virginity in real life. Because obviously behind every joke, there's a little bit of like realism, right?
Yeah.
Over here in the UK, I don't know if there was a set time at school where you know, obviously the age of 16 is where it's legal over here. But I don't know. Was there a key time when we're supposed to do this?
Not at all, because we don't have like a party. And what I don't, off the top of my head, without Googling, I don't know what the age is that Americans have prom. Because do they go school later than us? I think because we finish school at 16. Yeah. In the UK, you finish school at 16 and then you go to college. But Americans call university college, whereas we go to college, which is like in between school and university. And then you go to university after college. So I'm thinking that Americans are maybe at school until they're 18. And then they have prom, maybe, or 17, 18, and then they go to university. So therefore, I think that maybe when they're all talking about losing their virginity at prom, they might be older than we were when we were finishing school.
Okay, all right.
Huh. That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, at the start of the show, I usually ask you how you've been killing some time with our killer bit. That's clearly one of them, but how else you been killing your time, Nick?
Yeah, so after I did that interview, 2 days after, I went to Portugal for a couple of days, just on a little relaxing one, a bit of sightseeing, chilling on some trams and that. Went to Lisbon,
mm-hmm.
which is where I spent most of the time. And Lisbon is very, it's very hilly, man. That's one of the things I'll say. It's a beautiful city. There's so much to see, so much to do, lots of bars, clubs, history, culture. It's really, really nice. The weather weren't that good though, you know what I mean? It's a bit chilly, a bit nippy, mate, you know what I mean? You needed a jacket, them ones.
Mm.
And because I'm British, I just rolled up with one jacket only. So I was wearing the same jacket the whole time I was there, like just a denim jacket. It wasn't like, you know, you need a big jacket type weather. You could just get away with a light jacket, but it was just a bit annoying that I had to wear the same jacket. That I wasn't expecting to wear the jacket in the daytime, innit? And then in the daytime, it was a bit rainy and cold, and I was like, shit, I need the jacket all the time.
Oh, but, preparation is key, man.
I don't know, I just got gassed, innit? I thought, whenever you get on a plane, unless you're going to, you know, Scandinavia or them countries there, when you step off the plane, you're just thinking, it's going to be hot, innit? hotter than where I left, innit? Them ones.
Yeah. All right. Well, so what was like the actual physical, apart from the weather, like what's like Lisbon like? Like, is it nice to look at? Is it like a foodie place? What's it about?
Yeah, if you like seafood, man, you'll like it there. There's lots of seafood around and all that. But it's fucking hilly, man. Like, if you're somebody who's listening to this maybe in San Francisco, then you won't batter an eyelid because, like, cool. San Francisco's mad hilly, isn't it?
Mm. I mean,
Lisbon is basically like the San Fran of Europe. It's got trams, the same like proper old school traditional trams as well. They haven't updated the trams since they originally got put there, because the place is so hilly and the corners are so tight and stuff that modern trams actually wouldn't be able to cope with it. Yeah, that's right. I know about my tram shit.
Your tram knowledge is on point, bruv.
I'm on my tram shit, bruv. You get me? So they haven't updated those trams. So it's like proper nice. You get on these like real old school trams and it's a very photogenic place. But if you've got to walk around up those hills after a while, you're like, fucking hell, I've had enough of this, mate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You must have come back with some calves and glutes of steel. Yeah.
Man's like, the quads.
the quads are popping. Yeah, man, I did see your pictures on your Instagram at Nick Bright DJ. I did see them, and I saw the story was popping. Did you put some pictures up, like proper pictures?
Yeah, I took one of the Castle of St. George, okay, which is in Lisbon. I took that through. I was just walking around, and then I saw, you know, like sometimes when you're just walking around and you see like a perfect like photo op.
All
like,
the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Every time I pass a mirror, yeah.
So I was walking, and then there was this kind of like, it's the best way to describe it. It's almost like a window, but with no glass in it. It was just on the street, and I saw it, and then you could see the castle for it perfectly. And I was like, that's a shot, you get me? So man took that shot, because the castle's like in Lisbon, the castle's on top of the hill. So you got to imagine when they built this castle, when it was colonized, when they went there. They, was it colonized actually? Portugal? Anyway, whoever built the castle, right? Mm-hmm. They were like, listen, we need it at the top of the hill, bruv, so we can see who's coming, you get me? Mm. So we can like start shooting the bow and arrows at these motherfuckers.
Always need the higher ground, bruv.
And speaking of higher ground, actually, I went to a place, when I was in Portugal, I went to a place called Sintra, which is, I think it's in the district of Lisbon still, but it's like a 45-minute train ride out of the city. And I like doing shit like that as well, because you get to see a bit more of the country, and you get to see a bit more, like, rather than just the centre. It'd be like coming to London and just going to fucking Oxford Street. You know what I mean? I want to see a little bit more. But I can't imagine people are flying into London going, I really want to go to Croydon. You know, I must check out Croydon. I've heard it's really nice. Yeah, can't imagine that. I really need to go to Barnet. I've heard a lot about Barnet. It's lovely. But anyway, so went to Sintra, and this place, if you Google Sintra, the classic picture that will come up is spelled Sintra. The classic picture that will come up is the palace. The palace is at the top of the hill, and it looks like something out of Aladdin, bruv. Because there's a Middle Eastern influence in Portugal.
Oh, jeez.
Actually, yeah. And have you just Googled the picture?
I've just Googled it. Wow.
Yeah, so it's beautiful, man. The palace is like super nice, and it's right at the top of the hill. So when I went there, I hiked up the hill, bruv. I walked it from the town all the way to the palace. Boy, now that was fucking hell. That was next level. That took about up a steep ass hill and shit. It's all off road.
Because if I explain it,
hour 45.
Really, hour 45. Yeah. You must have really needed. But you know what? Good thing it wasn't that hot then. Otherwise, you would have had the bettiest swallocks in the world, mate.
Yeah,
you'd have been dripping.
Boing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to make it sound nice if I explain the colours of it, but it's like the primary colours that they use, like the yellows and the reds, like, it shouldn't look as nice as it does, if that makes sense.
It's like, it's
odd colours.
Very, very Arabic influenced, you can see it in architecture. Wait, How to Kill an Hour, taking a real highbrow stance this week, aren't we?
Oh, yes. And how was the wine there, Nick? No, we won't do that.
I must say, the wine was positively delightful.
All right, so that's how you've been killing some time recently,
yeah,
Nick. What have I been doing for my killer bit? Here we are. Look, listen, I've got one for you, listener. If you found the wine a bit too fancy, this is a super, super quick one. If you have an iPhone, you can use True Tone. It's this feature on which basically the sensors on your phone white balance what you see on your phone depending on where you are. So the type of light that you're under will adjust the kind of hue of your screen, right?
Right.
So Nick, you can do this right now. If you got your iPhone with you?
It's on charge. It's on the charging pad. Man's got the X out here, you get me? Just give me a sec.
What the wireless charging pad, yeah?
Yes, it's on the pad, just on the bedside
crazy,
table, bro.
Crazy.
If you're listening to this, Marcus isn't in my bedroom. We're doing this over Skype.
Yes, using the power of broadband.
Right, hang on. What do I need to do? I've got to download.
Settings. If you get up into your settings.
Settings, yeah, boom.
Display and brightness.
Display and brightness, boom.
Turn on True Tone.
It's already on, bruv.
Ah, there you go. You're popping. You are popping. That and also turning on a feature called Night Shift adjusts the color of your screen. Now, Night Shift, I'm going to guess that you're in an environment where you're in low light, and I'm going to adjust the colors that you see on your screen so that they look slightly more yellow. And what that does is it stops you looking at your phone, keeping you awake. Because you know there's the blue light that comes off your screen. Like, a certain amount of the light that comes off your screen is blue, and that wakes you up. So if you adjust it to a slightly warmer hue and a slightly dimmer display, then you will not stay up all night long, even if you do a little bit of late night swipage on Tinder and stuff like that. So there you go. There's True Tone. As well as that, Nick, did you update your phone as well? There was a new update the other day.
That is a very good question. I don't know if I did. You know, let me have a little look. See live on the podcast.
Yeah,
software update. Do you want me to read out what they say is in this update?
Yeah, go on. You can read out because there's one big thing in the update which I think is proper.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. iOS 11.3 introduces new features, including ARKit 1.5, with support for more immersive augmented reality experiences. iPhone battery health beta, new Animoji for iPhone X users, and more. This update also includes stability improvements and bug fixes.
Yes.
And then it goes on about for information on the blah, 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 blah. No one cares about the rest.
Big thing, though, is the battery health beta. You can now at any point check how the battery in your phone is performing. Remember, there was this whole issue about iPhones slowing down.
Oh, this is when they were fucking us, isn't it?
Exactly. So now you can check out whether your phone's got maximum capacity or whether it's not working well enough. You need to take it into the store. Before, you had to go into the store, go through the whole rigmarole of waiting for an appointment or setting up an appointment. Now you can look at your phone and say, listen, my battery's working fine. You can find out whether it's your busy fingers that are the problem or whether your phone needs replacing. There you go. You're welcome. You are welcome, guys.
Well, and
you
can find that. I'm downloading that shit right now.
If you've updated your phone, well, Nick's not done it, but if you've updated your phone, just go to iPhone, just go settings, select battery, and then it says battery health beta. You give that a little poke, boink, and it gives you all the information and sorts you out. So there you go. There's a bit of a techie one. Also, Nick, I went to Alcatraz.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Alcatraz?
I went to an Alcatraz.
Right, okay.
Not the Alcatraz, because if I did, I'd probably still be in there.
I wouldn't have Wi-Fi.
And I'd be pretty sad, bruv. I wouldn't be in a good mood. But Alcatraz is an experience which they've set up. It's in East London. It's an immersive theatrical experience which puts you in jail.
Right. Okay. Excellent.
We'll pop a link to the venue in the show description, which will have the address in it. But basically, you pop over to the venue and it looks like you're outside a normal door. You're just queuing up and there's a few, you're going Alcatraz? Yeah, going Alcatraz. Yeah, going Alcatraz. Yeah, going Alcatraz. And they prep you by telling you to bring along a bottle of booze of your choice. I decided to bring along vodka because, hey, I did. That's not important, though.
What vodka was it? Was it a cheap one or was it a premium spirit?
Well, I tick both of those at the same time, Nick. All right. So, when you say cheap and premium, well, you're going to find out. I'm going to find out whether you think this is cheap or premium. I went to the local Tesco on my way there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I looked along the spirit row and said, "Oh, that's on offer. I'll have that. £15. It was a raspberry absolute vodka.
And that's good. That's a premium. That's a premium vodka. That's good.
Yeah. Sort and right good. Next to it was the Glens. No, I'm joking.
Right next to it, the Glens, you know, the paint stripper.
Listen, I learned at uni not to drink those kind of drinks. You drink those kind of drinks and you become a person that is, you become a shadow of yourself. I've seen people
vodcat.
Drinking. Vodcat. Do you know what? I used to work in a booze shop at uni as well. Vodcat isn't even a vodka. Bruv,
it's nuts, isn't it?
Such a low percentage that I think it counts as like a schnapps or something. So basically, you're getting a schnapps with no flavour in it, just a raw vodka schnapp. Someone taking your bottle of vodka and pouring a bit of water in it and shaking it around and selling it to you. Anyway, so I went for the raspberry absolute salute. Met my mate Mike, went down there and stood outside the venue, and there was just this door. Somebody kicked open the door about 5 minutes before we were meant to go in and started giving us the biggest bollocking of our life. The immersive experience started from there. A couple of cops basically came out, threw us into the venue, threw us into the joint, got us in our orange and blacks, you know, the jumpsuits that you wear when you're in jail. And then to further immerse you, you're thrown into these cells. You get put in an actual cell.
Where's the vodka?
And this is how it works. This is so, it sounds so off key and I loved it. You have to hide your drink. So we had a pillowcase. So we hid our bottle in a pillowcase and then we have to sneak over to different parts of the venue to get these barmen who are also in on it to make your beverages. Whilst there is a whole heap of mad jail-ish going on.
Absolutely crazy,
bruv. There's guards.
I did see a picture actually of you on social media. I don't know where I saw it. I think it might be on the How to Kill It Hour Instagram or somewhere. But it's like someone's got their foot on your on your back or something, making you do some press ups. I'm like, bruv, this immersive experience is a bit too immersive for my liking.
Basically, I was having a go because someone was snitching. Yeah, and I said, listen, snitches get stitches. And one of the guards was like, oh, really? Yeah. Who runs this place? You or me? And I was like, well, you know, no one likes a snitch. He goes, you know what no one likes? I go, what? He goes, 20 press ups. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got made to do press ups and there was a bit of a bootage on my back because obviously I banged out the 20 press ups very easily.
Yeah, I was about to say, man, you go gym all the time. 20 press ups is a snack.
When I did it, people were like, oh my gosh, he's actually going to do it. I was like, come on.
Man, do man this. Done 20 clap press ups. 20 clap one hand press ups, no hands.
Bro, I was going to do that, but I was worried about the consequences. But within all of this, like, you're having a drink, yeah? You're drinking what you like to drink. They provide all the mixers for you. So they're knocking out, like, these hooch-style cocktails. And while this happens, not the most crazy bit of narrative happens because, obviously, you want to stay around, like, your beverages and talk a little bit. But, like, there's bits of narrative where you've got interactions between guards and obviously other inmates and other inmates, little side missions. And also there's a situation that occurs between the head of the jail, who is a very religious man and likes to quote from the Bible, and a guard. And there's some solitary confinement in there, bruv, as well. And I got put in that, God. And I won't tell you what happens in solitary confinement, but it was a very memorable experience. The actors are absolutely amazing. It's a laugh. If you want to go out and have a few drinks in London before going out, great idea, because you get to bring along something that you like to drink. Book your tickets to go to the venue. And I've heard a couple of people say, what, you have to pay to go there and bring alcohol? When you do the maths and add it all together, as long as you're not, you know, bringing a bottle of Ace of Spades, it actually works out as cheaper than going to a bar and drinking for a couple of hours. So
yeah, that's true to be fair.
You know what I mean? And if you spill a bit of drink on yourself, it goes on your overalls, you can take them off. Blessed.
Yeah. And if Blessed. You get the vodka, I mean, it's even cheaper, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, yeah. You probably end up in a real jail if you drink that stuff. So that's one way I've been killing some time. The other place, Nick, is I went to Four Thieves, which is a pub in Clapham, South London, near the Overground. So if you're in the London area visiting London, the Overground runs right through London. Very easy to get to, about 10 minutes walk from Clapham Station. It's a pub downstairs, a normal pub. Pub grub. Beers. Drunk people.
Peanuts.
Definitely. Oh, bruv, come on.
Fruit machines.
You can't, of course, you can't be a pub without peanuts and fruit machines. No. What kind of pub no. are you if you don't have peanuts and fruit machines, man?
Exactly.
Come on.
Gastro pub, bruv.
Oh, yeah, don't get me started on that, bruv. Are you a pub or are you a restaurant?
Talk exactly.
To me. Yeah. Upstairs, though, they have a massive selection of arcade games. Cool. You've got Street Fighters in there. Time Crisis is in there. They also have managed to, I don't know how they've got all of this in there, but it was amazing. They've got Plonk Golf, which is a mini golf course with 7 holes they've managed to put into this really, they've made it work. It works. A space which is, I thought they'd never get 7 holes in there. It's great. It's like Crazy Golf, which is neon. And I like a bit of Crazy Golf. You don't have to be good at golf. That's a laugh. They've also got an interactive VR experience where there's 3 VR booths. You can hop in one, I can hop in another mate can hop in a third one, and you have a multiplayer VR game where you can actually roll around in a VR environment together.
Sick. What?
Yeah, mate, oh, it's crazy. They also have some custom-made fairground games.
Do you mean like, when you say fairground games, do you mean like, I don't know, like Coconut Shy type? Games.
Yeah. There was this game that we played where basically you had these balls and you had to throw them into a hole, a target hole, but okay. It was custom built so that you, as you play against your mates, your score shows up digitally on a TV screen. So like, I'm next to my mate playing, he's on 4,000, I'm on 4,200. He's like, no, whatever, what? And it's like these really kind of kooky, steampunky designs that they've got in there. Because, for example, that game that we played, some of the, or most of the arcade, fairground games that you play, most of those games have prizes that you win. And you don't just get tickets like at conventional sort of arcades and stuff. My score came up on the screen, and then this little device released the ball, which rolled all the way across the game that we were playing and then popped out into my hands in front of me. It was kind of like I was in like, I don't know, man. I felt like I was in some sort of kooky garage where somebody had been making all these sort of exciting games.
That Marcus is used to having balls in his hand in kooky garages. I mean,
it wouldn't be the first time in my life that that's happened. And let's be honest, Nick, ain't going to be the last, mate. Ain't going to be the last.
Well, it sounds sick, though. I'm not going to lie. It sounds quite similar to... do you remember when we went to the People's Park Tavern to do the escape room in Hackney?
Yes. Yes. Well, they actually have the same game that we played, Lady Chastity's Reserve, there as well. They've actually opened up an escape room there as well. So there's an escape room there, right? There's crazy golf, plonk golf. There's VR experiences. There's new twists on classic fairground games. As well as that, they've got something called Moonshine Raceway, which is a custom-built raceway. Think of Skeletrics, or think of very, very, very small go-karts, if you don't know what Skeletrics is, driving around on a track. There's 10 seats behind the track, each of them with a steering wheel, a gas pedal, and a brake. And you sit in one of those seats, and you drive your little cars around against your mates. And they've got live commentary. They've got lap times. They've got prizes for the winners. You get into it.
Sounds crazy, man.
It's so much fun.
The only thing that I, because I've not been to this place, you know, but the only thing I do want to ask is, was it busy in there? Because it sounds like this is a destination, and Clapham is like very accessible, and lots of people actually live in Clapham as well. Like it strikes me as the kind of place that, I could be wrong, but I'd be like, I really want to go there. It sounds amazing, blah, blah, blah. Then I'd get there and it'd just be like rammed, because like it's so good, and loads of other people have the same idea as me and want to go.
Very good point, Nick. So we went on a Wednesday, right? Because I knew that, and I was advised that Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays are obviously very busy days. We managed to go on everything within about 3 hours. We were chilling, though. Right. We were taking our time. We had a little bit of food in between as well. Burger and chips, lovely, you know. And we're in and out in about 3 hours. I think if you go on a week end or a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and you want to do everything in there and have a real good time and try everything, you may have to wait a little bit. I'd say get there at 6, say if you're going to leave there at 11 and go on somewhere else, or just stay there for the night if you want to chill, because they've got a DJ there as well who plays tunes on a Saturday night as well. So while you're doing all your activities, you've got tunes going in the background as well. Very busy, man. Like, I don't see a reason for it not to be, because there's just so much going on in there. It's crazy. Plus they got their own brewery downstairs, so if you were fancy trying a few craft beers, they can sort you out.
It goes back to what we've been saying for a long time on this podcast, man. People want a little bit more than just the pub now. Yeah. People want a little bit more than just the bar. You know what I mean? They want to go out.
Exactly.
And they want, like, other shit to be in those places. And, like, I feel like this is only a good thing, man. It, like, obviously, you know, Weatherspoons and companies like that, they're not going to do it because, you know, they just serve alcohol and food, and that's what they're there for. But like, I feel like a lot of independent pubs, they could benefit, especially because pubs are shutting down left, right and centre, man. Like, you know, pubs could benefit if they just done a little bit more than just be a pub.
Exactly. And I mean, nail on the head, Nick. Like, if the prospect of just going out to the pub and drinking for drinking's sake, nah, man. Like, people are more aware of what's good for them, and they know that if you just do that, that's not healthy. But if you go out and you're active and you do a little bit of moving around, you know, one, you're not just going to sit there drinking all day, and two, you're going to have more fun. It's more sociable, man. Like, it's a lot.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah,
like, in fact, yesterday I went to, I totally forgot to mention this in the killer bit earlier, but I'll just mention it quick anyway.
Yeah, cool.
But yesterday I went to a place called Swingers, which isn't what it sounds like.
Right, it's, okay, I'm in. Keys in a bowl?
It's basically, there's two of them now. There's one in the city. So, you know the Gherkin building in London?
Yeah.
It's right there. But the one I went to yesterday was just off of Oxford Street, where the BHS shop used to be before they shut down.
Yeah, okay, shut down.
So Swingers is essentially, it's a mini golf bar. It's a bit like Junkyard Golf, but it's the same premise. There's two courses in there. Junkyard Golf has got four courses, the one in Brick Lane, but Swingers has got two courses, but it's a lot more swanky than Junkyard Golf. Junkyard Golf is very like East London, you know, they're going for that kind of rough and ragged vibe. Because it's meant to be a junkyard, whereas Swingers is like polished. And this is a brand new one as well. The one in the city is the original one, but the one I went to yesterday is new. It only opened in the last few weeks. And you can tell when you're in there, it's fucking plush, bruv. Like, and they got like bars on the courses, bars like they do like loads of cocktails. They've got Bredo's tacos, a patty and bun, and a pizza place and a gelato place all inside there, so you can order food whilst you're playing golf, and then it like the food comes. It's a vibe, trust me. You can go there on a date, or you can go there with the boys or girls, and you can still have a wicked time. And just as an aside, when I was in there yesterday, Arsenal player Callum Chambers was also in there, so if it's good enough for millionaire footballers, it's good enough for me, mate.
Did you tell him to sort it out? I mean, I know we've had a win recently, but did you have a word?
I didn't chat to him, no, because, you know, he probably would have like asked me for photos and that, man. He would have been like, oh my God, you're Nick Bright off of One Extra. Bruv, let me have a photo. I'd have been like, come on, Callum, mate. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to play fucking golf, mate. You know, leave me alone.
All right, cool. Swingers. So there's one in the city, one in the West End, like right next to Oxford.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Circus.
Yeah, it's basically like if you come out of Oxford Circus tube station, you can be there within like 3 minutes.
Literally the centre of all London. All right, wicked. Yeah. We'll put links to that in the show description as well. I mean, that's what we're here for here at How to Kill It Now. We're out here trying things so that we can let you know about all of the great things. Sometimes, though, we talk about shit things.
Oh, here we go. What have we got?
And remember a couple of weeks back, Nick, when we spoke on the show, we had a situation that occurred which revolved around how some of us like to use the bathroom, or more importantly, how some of us finish when taking a shit in the bathroom.
This was when serial killer producer Bill revealed to the world that he stands up when he wipes his ass, right? Is that what you're on about?
Yes, and he said, quote, that people that stand up when they wipe their ass didn't know that there were people that sit down when they wipe their ass. So us, you and I, Nick, us being surprised at the fact that there are people that stand up when they wipe their bottom, we're just as surprised. The people who are just as surprised are the ones that stand up when they wipe their bottom as well.
This is unbelievable.
I promised I'd put it out there, Nick, to the internet. And have you seen the results that came in?
I remember the results were like way closer than they should have been.
60-40, bro. There's 60% sitters, 40% standers to wipe their ass.
You know when people do those things that, like, you know, one in every three people is a serial killer. We've just done our own one, mate. you know, 40% of the How to Kill an Hour listeners are all murderers. it's official.
Bruv, 2 out of 5 people stand up when they wipe their ass.
Which is
when you're sitting on the train, yeah, and you've got 2 people to your left, 2 people to your right, two of them stand up and wipe their ass. And if there's only one of them that stands up and wipe their ass, you're the other one that stands up and wipes your ass.
Imagine going, I sit down to do this. I sit down to have a shit, you know, that's what. But when I wipe my ass, I'm just going to stand up. Why don't you just go the whole hog and just stand up and have a shit? You know what I mean? These people just stand over the toilet and let it run down your legs and that, you know what I mean? just go for it.
I can't comprehend why. I don't know. But anyway, look, Nick, we have to be open-minded on the show. We put it out to the people, and to our great shock, 40% of the nation stand up and wipe their ass.
This is why the people aren't allowed things. When the government put it out there to say, we want you to name this new research vessel, the fucking public decided they wanted to call it Boaty McBoatface. And now we've put this out there saying, look, oh, do you sit down or stand up? 40% of the people are showing themselves up, and this is why the public can't have a say in anything.
Exactly. And we have done a live show in the past where we've managed to explore the different opinions of the live audience. And I think, Nick, this is going to be something that follows us around into live shows, because I think we need to further discuss. We need to get to the root of this problem at some point. We need to, bruv. I can't let this go. And we need to fix it, bruv. I don't want to get on my high horse right now, but we need to fix this issue. I want unity when it comes to ass wiping. That's all I want, bruv. That's all I want.
Ass wiping unity. What do we want? Unity. When do we want it?
Now. What do we want? Sitting. When do we want it? All the time. Disgusting. Right. So what else has been popping in the world that we can discuss? Because we like to keep across what's happening in the world of media and technology, but not in a boring way, in a fun way. Now, we've spoken about Netflix quite a bit on the show. Nick, quick fire questions. Have you watched Altered Carbon on Netflix?
I haven't watched Altered Carbon on Netflix. In fact, on my TV screen right now, I've just paused an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes. Sorry. True excitement. Go on.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, it's like I've got Netflix up on the screen, the telly, but I haven't watched this.
Cool. Where are you at in Brooklyn Nine-Nine? What season?
The latest one that's on Netflix. I think it might be season 4.
Yeah, wicked. Right. Wicked show. Love that. May I recommend Altered Carbon, which we spoke about in last week's show, if you want more information, and also Annihilation, which is a film which will mess with your headpiece, bruv, but a very good watch indeed. Check those out. Now, Netflix... We've spoken about on the show saying that they're getting bigger and bigger. They're making more and more. Like, I mean, we reported last year that they're going to be making a whole load of Netflix originals content, and they've clearly delivered on that, because there's probably, it feels like there's more original Netflix content on Netflix than there is old content sometimes, because the screen is so full of stuff that they recommend to you. And the conversation I had with Funk last week, Nick, was, are we going to see Netflix trying to become an actual network by buying out a network or creating their own to create film content? Now, I seem to think they would. Funk said they might not, and they've actually, it's come out that they might be buying a guy called Luke Besson's Europa Corp. Now, it's his own independent film company, a very, very big independent film company. This is how big it is. They created a film called Valerian, City of 1,000 Planets. Now, this was independently funded. The budget for this was a reported $180 million. So even though I'm saying an independent film company, they've got budgets, bruv. Rihanna was in this.
$180 million. Wow. Mm.
So they make big boy films, but they're independent. Apparently, Netflix are having conversations saying that they want to buy them out. They want a total acquisition. Now, I was going to put it to you, Nick. Netflix buying studios, if you were one of the big boys in Hollywood, would you be a little bit worried?
Definitely, man. Netflix has become more than just a service that we use to just try and chat up girls and stuff like that. It's become... no, but on a real, it is... It's, it's infiltrated popular culture now in the same way that previous generations would talk about, you know, watching a video tape or watching a DVD or whatever. Netflix is now a thing that we put on when we get, like, for example, like I just said to you, Netflix is on my telly right now. My TV in my room, it's not plugged into an aerial, so I can't watch traditional TV here. I watch Netflix more than anything else. Got Amazon Prime as well, so I watch that. But
Balling.
In terms of, yeah, well, listen, you know, I mean, I might as well have both, in the words of Drake. You know? But yeah, like, it's, for me, like, I can't see it going any other way unless one of the big boy studios, Hollywood studios, revolutionize the way they do things. I was actually quite annoyed because I don't know if you saw the news that Netflix was banned from the Cannes Film Festival. They basically turned around and said that, like, any Netflix movie, so Bright, the Will Smith movie, that wasn't allowed to be entered in for any awards at the Cannes Film Festival, and they said it's because it's none of your movies go in the cinema first. And I'm like, this is bullshit. The cinema's dying on its ass. This is a classic example of, like, the old time, the old boys club not wanting to move with the times. Like, on a real, you know, and this is a different conversation, but cinema is dying on its ass. Like, attendances are down and down and down and down in the cinema because of, it's not only just because of Netflix, because of things like piracy and blah, 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 but Netflix is thriving. Like, this is a thing that is only going to get bigger. You know, people younger than you and I are growing up with this as standard, you know what I mean? So this is going to grow, and in a minute, Cannes Film Festival and flipping all the big boys of Hollywood are just going to have to admit, they're going to have to go, shit, actually, we're going to have to start paying serious attention and taking these guys seriously because they're doing their thing, man.
Exactly. And the cost of creating a film now means that you can get film quality content at a much cheaper price. So the fact that Netflix is... yeah, it's cheaper than a cinema ticket. And yeah, you get to watch loads of content for it. It's not that expensive. You don't need 180 million. I know we said someone had 180 million. It's always good to have 180 million in the bank, but you don't always need that amount of money to create some good ass content. And I'll tell you who is on. I'll tell you who's doing it a little bit of work with Netflix at the moment. And this is common enough knowledge if you do a little bit of digging around on the internet. Troy, Fall of a City, which is a BBC show, it's come out on the BBC first. That's a collaborative project with the BBC and Netflix. They went 50-50 or whatever. They went in on it together. They made it. And it's on the BBC and it's going to go on Netflix afterwards. Because, I mean, my personal opinion is I think both of them understand that they have different demographics. So why not go in on it together? Half the costs, that one audience gets to go on it, the other audience gets to enjoy it as well. You know, maybe put it out here in the UK first and then put it out to the rest of the world afterwards. So the BBC is working collaboratively with Netflix. I think more people should do that. Don't be scared, because the more you shun Netflix and stuff, the more they're kind of, I reckon they're going to have power against you. Do you know what I mean? Because if I saw Netflix popping and doing their thing and I was Fox, I'd be like, yeah, let's work together, man. Let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, but like in terms of like not giving them an award ceremony and stuff, there's just going to be like a Netflix award ceremony soon. Yeah. And everyone's going to go to that.
We've seen classic examples in the past of what you're saying, you know, and not too long ago, you know, in the tech arena when Instagram was flexing and doing its thing, Facebook went, shit, we need to get some of that. Boom, they bought it. You know what I mean? Like that's been happening in the tech arena for a while. Vine. The same thing. When Vine was about, Twitter went, shit, man, these guys are doing their thing. We need to buy them. Bang. Like, so it happens, you know what I mean? So, you know.
Snap. And then there was Snapchat when Facebook said, we're going to buy you. And then Snap went, nah.
Nah, we're all right. And then Snap's dying on its ass because they fucking just firstly, they're stupid because Instagram stories is just murdering it.
Like, you put me onto it, mate. You're right, mate. You put me onto Insta stories, Nick.
It's a million times better for getting reach. We've already discussed that, so don't want to go on old ground. But there's that, and it's also that they did this fucking update. I mean, I haven't used it, but based on what people have told me, because I don't even use Snap anymore. Literally, like I can't tell you the last time I logged into it. And this new update, people are just saying they can't even find their own Snapchat stories. It's just fucking nuts.
Raw. It's like, basically, like I said, what's happening is you know when you go onto Twitter and it says, here's stuff that you might have missed?
Yeah.
And you can scroll past that or press little X and go back to your normal timeline in normal order, yeah? With Snap, they've kind of done that, but it's not easy to go to where to your usual... Like, if you say I really like Steve-O the Madman, sick Snapchatter,
yeah.
I couldn't get to him as easily as I used to, and it kind of mishes and mashes stuff up and recommends stuff to you based on what you've looked at.
I don't understand. Like, maybe I get it from that point of view because they're trying to address the issue that I just said about like discovery. They're trying to make it easier to discover new Snapchatters and stuff like that, which is a positive thing. But Snapchat had already established itself in a different way. People were using it differently to, say, Instagram and Twitter. People were using it to follow the Snapchatters that they liked. They didn't want to have other people ram down their throats. So it's like, to then try and completely change something after it's hit the peak of its popularity, I don't know what they were doing. It's a ridiculous decision, in my opinion. And I just think, like, you know, it can only go one way for them now. Unless they switch it back, it can only go one way.
No, you're right, man, you're right. But one thing before we move on, like you said, we covered it before, Instagram stories, the fact that I can at you in it and tag you in it and be like, hey, yeah. I'm with Nick, I'm with Funk, whatever, and everyone can see that and you can see that. Why has that not existed in the past? That's one of my favourite things is the Sherry Billy. And I just notice a lot more interaction on Insta when you do stories.
Yeah, way more.
At the moment. Anyway. Have you seen that Ready Player One film yet, Nick? Which I highly recommend, and we gave a full review in last week's show. Have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen it. I've seen the trailer for it. It does look very good.
Okay, in the trailer, do you see them wearing funky gloves, like weird gloves, or not? You may have noticed, you may not have. It's cool, bro.
I can't say I've noticed it because I was too busy focused on the fact that there's a DeLorean in the trailer.
Oi.
And some other shit as well. There's some Star Wars stuff in there, isn't there?
Yeah, bro. Yeah, yeah. Bruv, the IP, the intellectual property in that. Only Steven Spielberg could get those two things in a film together. Yeah. And more, more without spoiling it. So you would have seen them wearing these funky headsets though, right? These things over their heads. You would have seen them wearing heads. Right, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
If you look closely at the trailer, you'll see them wearing gloves. Now, these are, in that world, those are gloves which they wear when they move their hands around, their character moves them in the real world. And at the moment, with real life VR, there are things like with the Oculus Rift that can see, kind of, there are sensors which can judge the movement of your fingers a little bit. With the PlayStation Move controllers, there's buttons which you press, which changes the way that the game interacts with the way that your fingers move, blah, blah, blah. But there's nothing at the moment commercially available, commercially being the operative word, where you can actually interact with a world and feel stuff. Oculus, apparently, are working on a set of haptic feedback gloves that means you can interact with the world and feel stuff.
What?
So the way that I'm going to try and break it down and make it make sense, right? So the way it works is that the patents have, in the gloves, you're going to have these things called tendons, which I'm going to presume are going to run along above and below, maybe in between your fingers. And as you touch stuff in the world, they tense up the right parts of the glove. So like if you pick up a glass of water, when your hand goes around that glass, the tendons will move in a way that makes you feel like you've touched the glove. Or if you open a door, you're going to feel the handle. And obviously, if they can get the gloves right, there's, you know, you can have full body suits. Without spoiling it, you might see stuff like that in Ready Player One as well. But that's what they're looking at, Oculus gloves. Now, I know patents don't always mean that products are going to come into fruition, but I feel like this is the next step in VR, Nick. And I've tried a little bit of haptic feedback when we did the Star Wars experience where you wore body pads on your top and if you got shot, they vibrated a little bit. And even though they're really small vibrations, when you're in the game, they feel so intense. This patent's out, Nick. I mean, I know that you'd be up for trying this when this comes out, but how do you think this is going to change the world of VR, the fact that you can now actually pick stuff up?
I feel like the sex industry is gonna fucking have a absolute field day with this shit.
yes.
I've seen did you see that I don't know if you saw it, like a little while back there was a video being shared around on like Facebook or whatever, and it's a video of a girl. She wakes up at like 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and she puts the camera on the alarm clock, and she goes, 4 in the morning, he told me he was going to be in bed in 20 minutes. That was at 11 or whatever. still not here. So then he's still playing. He's like still playing them fucking video games. And then she like walks out, and then he's got like a VR headset on, and he's like obviously like banging a chick doggy style on VR. It's like she's like, what the fuck? What the fuck are you doing? Like
90% of the internet is porn, bro. That could change the game. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine going on a date where you don't even have to leave? Can you imagine Tinder, right?
Yeah.
You swipe on Tinder. You get a like back. You get a connection on Tinder. You don't even have to go for a date now. You just strap on your suit. They strap on theirs. You go for a little virtual date. I'll tell you what, you're all right. Let's have a go.
Call it Vrinda.
Vrinda. I reckon that could happen. I reckon the kids will be on that. Especially if you're a little bit body conscious. You could show them your best. This is kind of like ready. Bruv, this is Ready Player One in real life. You could show them your best side and you can have a little bit of a little Vrinda experience.
Boom.
I'd have a go at it. Would you? Would you?
I'd have to, out of research purposes only for the podcast, you know, I'd just like have to check it out, you know.
Have to check it out. Standard. Yeah, so there you go. Oculus Rift gloves. We'll definitely keep you up to date with that when that happens, man. By the way, Nick, Siri isn't the cleverest. Apple are trying to make Siri clever. They're employing loads of people to try and make Siri a little bit smarter. I was just going to ask your opinion on how do you find Siri? Because I'm quite cool with my AI not being too smart.
For me, like I feel like Siri is behind. I don't want AI to be cleverer than me because that will just be peak, you know what I mean? But like,
are you going out dressed like that, Nick?
Yeah, exactly. But you know how like Alexa is, I feel like Alexa is one of the best examples of AI that's you know, commercially available and is there probably are better examples, but it's one of the main ones is what I mean.
Yeah,
the good thing about Alexa is you can ask it pretty much anything, pretty much within reason, and it can give you some kind of answer. I feel like there's way too many gaps in Siri's vocabulary or, you know, brain space. You ask it certain things and it just beyond like asking what the weather's going to be like or, you know, have I got any appointments today or things like that. It doesn't really offer me that much.
Yeah, and it's true. You don't get much more. It's a bit one way.
Yeah, and especially if your phone's locked, things like that are annoying. You know, like Alexa, you can just ask it whatever. If you've got an Alexa speaker, Amazon Echo speaker or whatever in your yard, you can just be like, Alexa, blah, 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 and it just does it. Whereas with Siri, if your phone's locked, it's like I'll check the internet for you, but then your phone's locked, so it can't work. It's like, it won't check the internet because the phone's locked. And I'm like, fucking hell, man, this is shit. Just tell me.
So you just want accessibility kind of with Alexa, and you want it to be a bit clever. I mean, ideally, where do you want your AI to go in the future? Like, what do you want from it?
I don't, like, the thing is, I'm somebody that's like, I don't want something like iRobot to happen. Yeah, I ain't looking to have robot helpers in the yard. You know what I mean? Flipping all up in the house. Telling
that is
me,
long.
yeah. Like, and then all of a sudden they turn evil and shit. Nah, I'm good. I just want something that, like, something that's just a bit more useful. And like, and I feel like Amazon are nearly there with Alexa, you know, like on a real. Like,
yeah.
Because you can get Alexa to, you know, turn lights on and off. I know you can do this with Siri as well, and it all depends on the other peripheral gadgets that you've got. But like, you know, I don't really want it to go much further beyond like being able to do what we can already do. You know, because the good thing that Alexa, this is not an advert for them, by the way. I sound like I'm advertising them hard. I don't even have one. It's my dad that's got one. I don't even have one in my yard. But the good thing about them is they're connected to Amazon, so it's like you can say to it, "Oh, flipping, buy me a Cadbury's Easter egg." Bang, it will do it, you know what I mean? Like things like that. And I feel like Siri won't be able to compete with that, because what will end up happening, and you know this, Marcus, what will end up happening is, like, as AI grows and it becomes bigger, they will need contracts with all the different, you know how like your bank needs a contract with Apple to be able to offer Apple Pay?
Yeah.
Like things like that will happen, you know what I mean? So it's like, as AI gets bigger, if Siri doesn't have a contract with Nike, you can't say to Siri, "Oh, order me those new Air Max trainers." It won't do it.
Yeah.
Like, whereas Amazon, because they've got their own fucking AI and their own massive, like, global shop.
Yeah.
you can do a lot more stuff with them. I feel like there's a lot more opportunity. But maybe, you know, who knows what will happen in the future. Fucking, we've seen crazy things happen. Like, maybe Apple might end up collaborating with fucking Amazon. You know, you just never know.
Yeah. Or one of them buying the other. That would be nuts.
You just imagine? Never know in this world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I wouldn't mind just saying, oh, Siri, just tell Nick that I'll be around the corner in 10 minutes and it will just word it like that.
How you normally talk as well. Yeah,
yeah,
like that,
man.
That'd be good.
Yeah, man. Do you know what I mean? Or Siri, it's raining cats and dogs, man. Like, you know, is it going to be like this all week? Like,
even with my Siri the other day, because a lot of the time if I'm like getting ready, it'll be on charge and my wardrobe's right next to the bedside table, I'll say to it, like, what's the weather like outside, right? Yeah. But like, so the other day I said, what's the weather outside? Like, what's the weather outside today? Saying, no, what was it? It's something like, anyway, I ended it on the word mate, because I would say to like, how you doing today, mate? You know what I mean? Mm. Like, and then there's a place called Mate in Ghana. It's probably pronounced Mate, I reckon, but it's in Ghana. And it started telling me about the weather there. It was like, it's not very cold in Mate, Ghana. I was like, bro, I ain't asking about that place.
I ain't asking about that mate. Mate. Cool. Freaking hell. What a waste, man. But you know, I think the more, what we have to be cool with though, is that they're going to have to record loads more data on us for that to work. And to me, I'm cool with it. I know some people are still a bit funny about, you know, oh my gosh, Siri knows everything, or Google's got all of the information. But for that to work, it needs more input from us, because we're very complex creatures. And it still shows that AI isn't quite there yet in terms of taking over the world yet, because it still can't understand when you call it mate and tries to talk about another country. Interessant. Anyway, Nick, super quick on before we get out of here today. There's an app that's come out called Jero, G-E-R-O. I don't know whether I'm saying it right, but that's how you spell it. Now, it takes information the app can take information from your Fitbit, Apple Health, and there's a few other apps that you might use for your health and fitness that it can draw information from. It can use that information to make a prediction on your lifespan. Would you be cool with that kind of prediction? Like, because this exists, Nick. I mean, I'm looking at it. I've downloaded the app. I've not set up yet. Would you be cool with AI telling you when you might die? Would you like to know?
No, I would. I don't know why anybody would ever want to know this shit. Like, can you just imagine? Like, you just imagine how horrible that would be. It would, like, because the whole reason why, you know, and I don't mean to get a bit dark here or morbid, but this is real life. The whole reason why when people get told they've got terminal cancer, it's so horrible, is you know there is a death sentence put on you, man. You know it's coming. When they say you got, you know, no more than 2 months to live, that shit is horrible. Can you imagine having that your whole life? I know we all know that we're going to die, but, you know, we all hope that we're going to die of old age or blah, blah, blah. Can you imagine if, like, you went on this thing and it was like, yeah, you're going to die when you're 45. I'll be like, what? Like, then I'll just be fucking, I'll be like, I'm the type of person as well. If I knew that, say if you knew you were going to go, like, not real soon, but like in your 40s or whatever, I'd be like, well, fuck work. Why am I going to kill myself working if I've only got fucking like 15 years left? I'm enjoying my shit. You know what I mean? Like, but then what happens if it ain't accurate? Because it's just an app at the end of the day, isn't it? What happens if you get to 45 and it's like, hang on, man's still going out here. Yeah. I ain't got no savings. I ain't got no yard. I ain't, like, it could really fuck up your life.
I'd see it as a challenge, you know. I'd be like, oh, I'm going to die tomorrow, yeah? All right, let's see. I could die now. Let's do this. Yeah. No, I wouldn't do that.
Can you imagine if you like, whopped in all the details and then it just came up saying tomorrow? Can you fucking imagine?
Flipping hell. That would be deep and dark. But, I mean, in another way, though, another point of way of looking at it, though, is if you knew, you might do more in the world. You might help people. You might, I don't know, raise loads of money for charity and stuff like that. It could be a good thing. I think I could handle it. I'm looking at the app now and I'm considering putting my details in and finding out what the lifespan is.
More for you, my friend.
Really? Really?
Brave.
You really wouldn't want to know?
I would. No way.
Okay. All right, fair enough. We'll put a link to that app in the show description. Use it at your own peril. And it is an app. All right, we've just discussed that Siri might not be that clever, all right, and isn't. When you say mate, it starts telling you about another country. You might put an extra zero in or say you've done like 100 steps less every day and it might tell you that you're going to die tomorrow instead of in 50 years' time when you should die. There you go.
Marte.
Or 100 years' time. Marte. There you go. Anyway, Nick, before we get out of here, how can we find more Nick Bright out there?
At Nick Bright DJ on all the socials, bro. That's
bro.
Where you can find me.
Trust
Instagram,
me.
Twitter,
yeah,
all that lark.
Yeah, and the DJ thing ain't here for a joke. You know, I saw Nick Bright in the mix the other day, shutting down Beluga in Preston, smashed it.
Yeah, yeah, boy, that was live. Marcus Bronzy was inside the building, grabbing the microphone, just living life, sipping 2-2 juice and that.
Hey, you know, it was my birthday weekend, didn't it? It was my birthday the week before, so, you know, I had to have a little, I got loose, didn't it? You have to get a little bit loose out there.
Yeah, you know
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, nothing wrong with that, mate, you know what
I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I had to leave, man. I was gutted. I had to go, you know what I mean? Because I was in and out. I had things to do in London the next day. I didn't get back to London until 6:30 a.m. the next day. So that was a bit crazy. But
Graft.
Yeah, I'm sure you and the lads had a good night.
I had a sense. It was sensational.
I know this is very insular now. It's just like for us. But like the vibe in there, it was Easter Sunday. So it's like, you know, nobody had work the next day. It was fucking rammed. Like the vibe, the music, people were just feeling it. It was a sick night, man.
Yeah, I think, you know what? Nick Bright DJ by name, Nick Bright DJ forever. Or at least when Gero says he's going to die, or Gero, the app.
Even when I'm old, I'm still going to be doing this.
Of course, man. Of course. Obviously, your radio show, BBC Radio 1 Extra, 10 till 1 Saturdays and Sundays, right?
Yeah, that's the ones.
Good stuff. All right. I'm Marcus Bronzy on all the social medias. That's Marcus, M-A-R-C-U-S, B-R-O-N-Z-Y. We are How to Kill an Hour on all social medias as well. Also, make sure if you want to get involved in that competition where you can win one of three copies of 2K18, the flagship WWE game, not just the regular version, you're going to be getting yourself the Bad Boy WrestleMania version if you win. A pack full of bonus content, including the John Cena You Can't See Me and Kurt Angle Olympian. He actually is an Olympian in wrestling, you know, in real life. In 1996, he won the Olympics. If you Google the picture of Kurt Angle, you can see how happy he is because he actually cries, bruv, with happiness.
Yeah.
Cries.
Did he have like mad long hair back then as well?
A lot more hair than he does now, let's be honest.
Yeah. Man's bald, isn't he?
But yeah, if you fancy winning that 2K18 WrestleMania edition, one of those three copies, head to howtokillanhour.com/win or head to the link in the show description. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. I've been Marcus Bronzy.
I've been Nick Bright.
Thank you for killing some time with us. Bless.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.